shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth.
Oh, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, let the fields be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh,
he shall judge the world with righteousness. He shall judge the world with righteousness. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth.
Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, let the fields be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh, I said he cometh to judge the earth.
Well, I want to continue taking up our teaching, which we are calling Stand Fast in the Power of His Might. Stand Fast in the Power of His Might. And we're taking this from Ephesians chapter 6. We're dealing with the whole armour of God. And we have some teachings already that are up on our website. So you can begin to, if you've not heard, begin to listen to these as we're opening up with this. But briefly, last time we were looking at Ephesians 6 and verse 10, and briefly, just to go over, recap what we were looking at so that we can lead into this, we saw that soldiers have to wear a uniform. They have to wear combat, and they have to be trained to use the weapons that they're giving. And many, sadly, in Christendom have not really ever thought about this. And we're to put this all on, as the Bible shows us, as Paul teaches the Ephesians here, to put this on. In other words, something is missing to the believer, to the overcomer, of which we're to put on. It's not just going to automatically be there when you get saved or even baptized in the Holy Spirit, all of which is vitally important. It is something that we are to consider, that we're to be taught, that we are to put on in these last days in order to be able to stand. Much of Christendom today is in spiritual denial that we are facing the last final battle against the powers of darkness before the Lord Jesus returns. For we are most surely in the last days. And yet so many are burying their heads in the sand with regard to this. Why? Because they have never considered that you put on the whole armour of God. Now, we looked much into this last time. I can't keep going over all of this because we need to move on with this. So much of that was explained with regard to putting on this armour. But I want to take this a step further today. And we're looking in Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to begin to look at verse 12, which says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." And there's quite a catalogue there of what we're actually up against in spiritual warfare and what we need to learn. And what we need to understand is our enemy. And of course, Satan controls all of this, being the god of this age at the moment. But I believe that the Lord will not teach us who our enemy really is unless we put on the whole armour of God. He dare not reveal to us what we're up against, because sadly many will run away in fear. But there is no fear in the perfect love of God. And as we are learning about this armour and what it is and what it is for, so what will be coupled with this is God's love and grace and mercy. For I've begun to teach you and show you what this armour really is. This armour is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is your armour. He is your protector. He is the one that raises a standard against the enemy. And therefore, to understand this armour and to experience this armour and this equipment that God gives us, we have to have this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This unbroken fellowship that we're to have 24/7. If we do not see the fullness of God in our lives, in our heart, possessing us, taking us over as we yield to the Holy Spirit, we will never understand what this armour is really about. And we will never have the confidence and faith to rise up with this armour against the enemy and all that is catalogued here in verse 12. Against principalities, powers, rulers, darknesses, spiritual hosts, wickedness in high places. And yet this is what the church is to be taught for this final battle that is soon to come with the powers of darkness. Because the church is very instrumental in bringing down Satan, in dealing with the Antichrist, and ushering in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to come to rule and reign on the earth. And we are told in the book of Revelation that as he comes on his white horse, so the saints, the overcomers, come with him and follow him to rule and reign upon the earth, to restore law and order, to restore through the kingdom age people that are left to come and worship and praise and learn again about Almighty God. But there's much of that that we can talk about in the future. But we're talking about today about this armour. And this armour is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And this is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit, is so important, so vital for these last days. Because we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities that are ever trying to war against you, to get you to compromise, to get you to go back, to hold you in fear, confusion, doubt, and all that we know all too well that we battle with. This is why man's mind is under a battle. And much of your battle each day is in your mind, in your thinking, how you think, your views over the Word of God, what you understand in the Word of God. This is why the Word of God is our deliverance. As we receive the truth, the light of His Word, this is what sets deliverance. And much deliverance is having a different mindset. It is thinking differently to what I thought. And that is why our meetings, our coming together, are so vital, because God sets healing, deliverance, salvation. That is what always accompanies the Word of God under the anointing. The signs follow of healing, deliverance, salvation. You say to me, well, I am saved. Yes, you are saved. But the Bible reveals that we are saved and we're also being saved. We're being brought out from. We're also being delivered. Much of the deliverance for the overcomer is having a different mindset. It's seeing the light. Eyes being opened to the truth of God's word, because the word of God sets us free. Not emotions, not feelings, or all these things that so much Christendom is dependent upon to entertain God's people. No, it is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, that sets the captives free. And we are being set free as we are being restored back under apostolic faith and anointing under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not under a man. We are not under a pope. We are not under a cardinal or a priest. We are under the Lord Jesus Christ, the high priest, the one who now sits at the right hand of the Father, all power, dominion, and authority given unto him through the name of Jesus. That is whom we are being restored to. Anything other than that is cultish, is control. For whom the Son sets free, we are free indeed in Christ Jesus. So we are to put on the whole armour. Then we will be able to begin to discern. Then you will start to be trained by the Holy Spirit. And you're also going to be tested with this training. So I make no apology that after these teachings, if you have truly taken them into your heart, prayed about this, we will be also tested. Because how will you know what this armour is what it's capable of, unless you are tested by it? But never fear, the Lord Jesus Christ has always gone before and prepared the way, as he always has, and revealed himself through the word, because the battle is the Lord's at the end of the day. Secondly, our warfare is supernatural. And to learn this, you cannot just receive this intellectually. It is not enough. If this word today, this meeting, has simply stimulated you intellectually and you've learnt something more, you have failed to understand the word of God and what the word of God is to do in our lives and hearts. For this is a spiritual seed being sown into the heart. It is no ordinary book. And this is why intellectuals, the world, cannot understand it unless our minds and hearts are being touched by Almighty God. In other words, we've been unveiled to be able to receive the living word into our lives. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. Our teaching today is stand fast in the power of his might. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Therefore, from now on, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And that is how we're to walk, that is how we're to receive from God, and that is how we, that principle, to hear God's word. It cannot be revealed by flesh and blood. It can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit who anoints. So that is how we're to walk. That is how we're to receive this. And the Holy Spirit will empower us to be able to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, if that is what we want. So this spiritual warfare then means that we are to stand. We saw this back in verse 11, put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Now, this idea to stand means to keep intact, to show the enemy that you don't fall. The enemy must see spiritually that you stand secure in your salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's going to target to try and knock you over. And we showed last time, didn't we, in the teaching, that a soldier is no good on his back or his face. He is a prime target to the enemy. So we are taught and shown that we stand in Christ Jesus. And that is the position that we are in, and particularly in our warfare. So we stand, it means to keep intact. We show the enemy that we don't fall in Christ Jesus. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And that's what it says in verse 12. And that is the reason why we stand in the Lord. Now we're dealing with the supernatural powers. And these supernatural powers, many of them are instrumental, used through human beings. What human beings say, how human beings build a thing, what they believe, and so forth. Empires are built through human beings. Despots. And history is filled with leaders, despots, kings, emperors, sultans, you name it. And they are given powers by the enemy to build. Much of what we see around the world today has been built through human beings, deceived, beguiled by the enemy. Why do we know this? Because it says that Satan is the god of this world. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has divested his power and given that now to the church, where he now serves us and is under our feet. Notice the position of warfare. Satan wants to knock you down, keep you down, so that you cannot be in a fighting position. You cannot be in a watchful position. You are weak. But we stand in Christ Jesus. But we note, when Christ rose from the grave, and all authority, power, and dominion is given unto him, where is Satan positionally now with Christ? He is under his feet. In other words, he is knocked over. I'm reminded of a statue that was commissioned by an artist that is outside Coventry Cathedral. Remember that that cathedral was bombed during the war and they rebuilt it shortly afterwards. And there's a statue outside there, it's huge. And it's the Archangel Michael, the warring angel, and underneath his foot, laying down, is Satan. And guess where his foot is on his neck. And that is a reminder to us of what Christ has done for us. that Satan, his power against the church, against the Christian, has been broken. And he now serves us. He is now under our feet, because that is what Christ has done, in order for us to be able to start to get into warfare, to be able to restore the church back to her position that she should be. And she has failed that position for nearly 2,000 years after giving up the power of the Holy Spirit. In about the second century, the church began to fall into terrible unbelief and confusion, listening more to the powers of darkness than to the Lord. And right through the ages, fell into the dark ages, where just a remnant has survived for many, many centuries. That has been the state of the church, the Christian church. And that is, of course, why we have Mystery Babylon, Catholicism, and so on. But we are now in the time of restoration, where through the baptism, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God is now restoring a remnant back to her position and authority in Christ, her experience and understanding of where the devil is, and that is, he's under our feet. Because Christ wrought that for us at Calvary. Christ knows his position over the enemy. Why is it the church doesn't? And the reason being is because she doesn't understand the armor of God and what the armor is about. Because you put it on, and it is for those who want it. It is for those who are prepared to be trained with this armor and to be used in the last days. That is why we teach the deeper life. That deeper life is that open door in the book of Revelation it speaks of, that you can go through and you can go as deep and as far as you want with Christ. All the limits are removed. This isn't religion that we're teaching you. This is from the living Word of God. So there is an enemy, because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities. And so we're dealing with these spiritual powers, and they unfortunately use human beings. Unfortunately, they even use in the house of God. For example, let's turn to James chapter 3, verse 15, 14 and 15. James chapter 3, 14 and 15. But if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. And sadly, a lot of that goes on in Christendom. Sinning with the tongue, lies, gossips. And what do we note? What does it say in nature it is? It is demonic. It is devilish. That is what we're up against. So we're not dealing with flesh and blood. When you hear heresies come out of teachers, preachers, when you hear lies, when you hear all this gossip that should never come out of believers' lips, that reveals to us they are demons working through these people. Now you may say to me, well, how can this be if you are a born-again Christian? Remember, I said at the beginning, we are being saved. We are being brought out from. I don't believe a Christian who has the Lord Jesus Christ in his life, who's a new creation, can be demon-possessed. But you can be oppressed. And you can still have areas of your mind open to the powers of darkness that God is closing the mind to. That is why we put on the mind of Christ. That is why we must take our minds very seriously before God. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, it says in Proverbs. If you think resentment, hate, that is what you are. If you think lust, that is what you are. If you think greed or jealousy over someone, that is what you are at that point. And that is why the Holy Spirit comes to reveal these things so that we can confess and get them out into the light, that they no longer are deceiving and controlling us. That is the overcomer's responsibility. Why? Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities. That is what we're up against. And so as we walk with God, we seek the Lord, we have that prayer life, we get into the Word, we come together for our meetings and so forth. This is working deliverance for us, brothers and sisters. This is closing those doors to our mind that were once oppressed and held by the spirit of this age. This is why we're being delivered out from. We're coming out from. Yes, we're already saved, but we're also sojourners walking through. That is the idea of it. That is the idea of a sojourner. You are overcoming. You are walking through from this life into eternity. Hallelujah. So, going back to this, we see clearly what James says that keeps assemblies, fellowships in division, not agreeing. And most of that stuff that you see, and yes, most of us have experienced it, haven't we? In the past, in churches or whatever it is, sadly, most of all of that in nature is demonic. And that's why you come away from it. That's why you don't want to be a part of it. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, because it's unclean. You can't grow in that environment. You can't experience the fullness of Christ that you want. I knew in my life I wanted more of God, but was held back by these things. Was held back by these divisions, this gossip, this criticism, this worldliness. Until I cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, there must be more to this. And God said, yes, there is. Come, follow me. And I did. And that's what he does today. He's still saying, come, follow me. The same as he did with disciples, his 12 disciples. He's saying it to us today. That is why I believe discipleship is what God wants. Not church membership, it's disciples who follow, who obey him, who look to him 24/7. That is what he's looking to and for. And yes, he will do it. And how will he do it? By his Spirit, by the anointing, simply believing, yielding to him, not resisting. He is making you and I disciples of Christ. Hallelujah. We know that we wrestle against supernatural powers. Jesus knew this in his ministry. Many times he silenced the demons when they were speaking out of the people. We know who you are. And at that point he silenced them because God didn't want most to know who Jesus was. It was to be revealed to those whom the Father opened the eyes to. And that is why we don't have to go around justifying ourselves and saying this and that and everything. God will do it through you. And I can assure you, if you are a disciple of Christ, demons around will know who you are. Sadly, they have more insight and understanding than many sleepy Christians. And that is so sad. But they know who you are, and you'll know who they are as well when you have this armour on you. Because this armour that we're putting on is going to be very much an armour in nature, where you are going to minister and you're going to cast out demons. Because that's what we're told to do. Mark 16 tells us to do it. Yet most of the church has failed that. Over a quarter of Jesus' ministry was casting out demons. Yet we're so asleep to it. But we won't be, because God again is equipping the church in these last days. You, the people, minister. It's not left to one man. It's not left to a preacher or a teacher that we so often see in these big meetings. It is the people, you, who go out, who make disciples. You go out and cast demons. You go out, heal the sick, raise the dead. That is what we're teaching you. In many ways, I'm teaching myself out of a ministry. But of course I'm not. Because my heart's desire is that you, the people, the disciples of Christ, you're the ones that go out and make disciples, baptizing them into the name of Jesus. That is what body ministry is about. This is what God wants to restore the church back to, her ministry, her function. We, all of us, have a ministry. None of us are here by mistake. We're all of us in this together, being trained and taught by the Holy Spirit. That is what it's about. It's not about a man, a ministry, lording it over the people, which sadly so much of it we see today. We see this shepherdship controlling people through these elderships that they raise up. We hear stories where couples can't marry unless they go to an elder, and the elder then goes to the rest of the elders to find out if it's right for them to marry or not. They're extremes, I know, but that's what goes on in church, and this is why so many Christians in these churches never grow up. They don't mature. They're always going to their elder or the person that's over them. Pray for me for this. Pray for me for that. What is the Lord saying here? You've been saved for God to speak to you and to lead you. You've been saved for relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not via through a man or a mediator, which is so much what goes on in religion. And certainly the Roman Catholics are held by that. The confessional. As if a man can forgive your sins. Go away and say 20 Hail Marys and you'll be forgiven. It's blasphemy. There is only one that can forgive. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood that he shed for us to deal with that, to cast it away as far as the east is to the west. But Jesus cast out many demons. He also silenced them. He never held conversation with them. He never ever made fun with them. He never made fun of the powers of darkness, or he never had nicknames for Satan that so often you hear today. We're not to do that against the enemy. He still has power and authority. And there is a way that we deal with him. Not through flippancy or jokes. It is always through faith in the name of Jesus that we deal with him. Jesus never cast these demons out or whatever it was to make money out of this or to pride himself. Look at my ministry. Look how many I've healed. Look how many demons I cast out. Oh, most of that we see today, don't we, through these tele-evangelists boasting in their converts and how many converts they've made or how many are getting healed. No. We don't fall for any of that. All we're ever concerned about is the Lord being glorified. You know, John the Baptist saw it, didn't he? This is why he had such a great ministry. Because when he saw Jesus come on the scene, he said, I must decrease that he increases. And that is the walk for the Christian. It isn't about you, it isn't about me. It is about the glory of God wrought through you and me. I decrease that he increases. That is the focal point of the deeper life. No, Jesus never fell for any of those tricks at all. He only did that which the Father reveals to him. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. Philippians 3 and verse 19. Where it speaks about... Let's take it up from verse 17 of Philippians chapter 3. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. There's the warning. That's the warning to this last Laodicean church, which is neither hot nor cold. They're taking all the glory. And that's why they build these empires, which are all going to come down. Some of them are toppling down already. They're finding that their begging for money is no longer working. They can't keep giving out all these promises and come to this meeting and listen to this revelation that God has given me and so forth. It's gradually going to wind down because the people, some of them will begin to see this is nothing but froth and bubble. False promises. Jesus fell into none of that. So carrying on with this, we're looking at chapter 6, verse 12. We've looked at, well, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So what is this understanding then to wrestle? Well, this understanding to wrestle means a contest. With the victor, his hand or foot on the opponent's neck. Now, I've already touched on this, haven't I, earlier, that we're to stand, we're not to be on the floor, we're to stand. And so this idea to wrestle means that you are the victor and your foot is on the opponent's neck. In other words, if you hold somebody firmly by their neck, they are paralyzed. because they know that you can break the neck and that's it, they're finished. So the neck is in many ways the weakest point in wrestling, in warfare. It's to hold the enemy down in that position. It also means to struggle. It's a conflict. Now, the secret to all of this is to actually let go and let Jesus, who has taken full residence in your life, fight through you the enemy. This will never happen. The church will never win this final battle unless we let go and we allow Christ full control, residence in our life, and then he will fight and triumph over the enemy through us because of the cross that he wrought at Calvary, the victory. This is how this is going to be won. So it's not going to be won by you trying or doing. This is going to be won by us being in Christ. That is how this final battle will be won. Let's turn to some scriptures. Jude 25. The book of Jude. And verse 25, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Who is that? That is God himself. That is the one who has taken residence in our lives, in our hearts. And he's come to us in all glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forevermore. That is what you and I, brothers and sisters, have received through Christ Jesus. So it isn't about us, is it? It isn't about us, this last final battle. This final battle with God's church is going to be about Christ and Satan, because God loves his church. He's betrothed to her. That's what the book of Ephesians is about. She's making herself ready for marriage, and he is going to fight for her. He will not let her be destroyed. He will not let the true body of Christ be brought under by the powers of darkness. And he is going to fight for her. But it can only be done through believers who are in complete yielding and obedience to him. That is the only way this will be done. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 and verse 19. I'm sure you know this well. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And what is that standard? His name is Jesus. All authority, power, dominion given to him. That is the standard. This is why it's not about you and I. It's not about what I can try and do. This isn't about trying. It's about being. Prince Charles, who is royal in the world, that is, doesn't try to be a prince. He is a prince by birth. And you are a royal priesthood by birth, the new birth. You have received an inheritance innumerable, no beginning, no end, because you are in Christ Jesus. It is what he has made you. He has declared you and I righteous before Almighty God and before the powers of darkness and Satan himself. That is why Satan fears you. Because you have been declared and made right before God. Holy, separated unto him. He fears you because God has invested the power of his son's name, Jesus, on your lips, which you confess by faith. And he hates that. The battle is the Lord's. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 17. And verse 47. On Samuel 17 and verse 47, story of David and Goliath. We know that very, very well. And take it up in verse 47. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give into your hands the enemy. There you are. That's what he was always teaching Israel, trying to teach Israel that it's not about them. It's not about their strength, their might, because they were only few in number. He was always trying to show that the battle is the Lord's. You see, the angels of the Lord will only fight for you when they see Jesus, their commander in your life. And that's why I'm always so blessed when I read Psalm 91, one of the great psalms. And I'm just going to read some of this to you, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There is your protection. The armor of God is in many ways the shadow of the Almighty. He's your protector, covering you. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. There he fortifies, there he protects you. He's your fortress, he's your refuge. Again, we will understand the whole armor of God in connection with this. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the prelious pestilence. In other words, what it means there, you already have the victory. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. You have the victory. Even though you're in warfare, even though it may look as though you're going under, even though it may look as though the enemy's winning, you are the victor. I've delivered you from the snare of the fowler, the prelious pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers. And under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. There we are. We're to walk in his truth. We're not to fabricate, to lie, twist the word of God, because it's our protection. Like that mother hen with her chicks, looking after them under her wings. There's the analogy of it. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. There's the deliverance taking place with us as we're being prepared. He's rooting out all that fear. Nor of the arrow that flies by day. In other words, the devil's roaring. And we know that the lion has the greatest sound out of all beasts. A lion's growl can be heard some 2 miles away, 3 miles away. Nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. In other words, what you may see or what is going on around you, you're not affected by it. You're not moved by bad news or things that happen. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. In other words, we may see all of these things. We might experience these earthquakes, but it's not going to affect us. It's not going to touch us. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. And that is what the church will see as she's being restored. She is going to see the enemy finally cast down. The accuser of the brethren. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you. There you are. So as you go forward in warfare with that armor on, no evil will befall you. It won't touch you. Might look as though you're losing the battle for a while, but you won't. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. There's divine health. God's going to keep us from the plagues, disease and sicknesses that are becoming more and more prevalent on the earth. For he shall give his angels charge over you. And that is what we need. And we will experience and are experiencing God's angels warring, protecting, preserving, keeping us, to keep you in your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent you shall trample where? Underfoot. This is what we're talking about, this wrestling. That is where he is positionally in your life. Because he has set his love upon me. That's why. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Who? I will. I will. I will. I will. That's all it's about. I will. Who? God Almighty in your life. It's not about you or me. That's why he wants our faith today to believe. Just a mustard seed of faith. And look what he will do. Look at the blessings of Psalm 91. I'll tell you, no insurer would ever put in their policy what you see and read there today. They'd be out of business by tomorrow. But that isn't an insurance policy. It's an assurance to us. Hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, as I bring this to a close now today, we must move beyond flesh and blood. We're so often surrounded by people, different characters, appearances, personalities. Everyone wanting to do their own thing, have their own say and so forth. We're constantly bombarded with this, our own families. And yet we're told we've got to look beyond all of this, where our warfare is concerned. Because we're constantly around people. We're in an fallen environment. We're seeing around us sinning and cheating and lying, greed, lusts, constantly. And this so often is demonic activity, strong influences. There are those that we walk and see in the streets, sadly, are possessed by demons. I very often see those demons looking out at people, staring at you sometimes. You know what's looking out of them. These poor souls gripped and held by the powers of darkness. You see, the tragedy is that society has never been very good at looking after the mentally sick and oppressed. History shows this. Man has never been very good in trying to handle mentally oppressed. And we still hear it today. Still trying to ply money in. We're hearing so many now suffering bipolar, depression. So many hearing voices. Psychiatry can't handle it. They don't understand. And yet human nature's never been any good at really handling it. Why? Because you're dealing with demons, sadly. Your institutions can't treat it. They have to give them strong drugs, sedate them, and so on. Why? Because it's blinded behind it all. It can't see. The God of this age blinds them. But brothers and sisters, you see. Because God is opening your eyes for the last days. He's opening your eyes, my eyes, that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities. And we have got to learn this, brothers and sisters. We have got to let go. We have got to allow the Holy Spirit now to begin to build this in and through us. And he will. He will do it. He knows how to do it. Because he loves his body. He loves his church. He gave his life for her. That you and I will be redeemed. A new life. A new hope. A new future. Eternity. But before all of that, we are facing the last final conflict with the powers of darkness. I don't know about you, but everything within me says, Lord, I do not want to let you down. Whatever it takes, Lord, here am I. Work through me. And he will. And all he wants is your consecration. All he wants is your faith. Your heart, and he will do the rest. Heavenly Father, we know when you speak. We know the urgency, the hour that we live in. We are seeing the powers of darkness gripping hold around the world, getting stronger and stronger. But it will never stand against Almighty God. Lord, teach us what we need to know. May the whole armour of God be our experience in these last days. That it's not just in words, but it is in power, might. It is by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Father, for the deliverance that is taking place in our lives. How that you are changing us from glory into glory. How you are teaching us. How you are undoing wrong things that sometimes we may have embraced. Your word is pure and holy and undefiled. And you have come, Father, to set us free. You have come, Father, to teach us our stand and our position that we have, not in ourselves, but in Christ Jesus. And we are very aware, Lord, what we are facing in these last days. But help us, Lord, not to run away, but to stand. to stand not in ourselves, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the battle is around us, as the winds come beating in, help us, Lord, just to stand and watch and see the salvation of our Lord. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, it is by your Spirit. And Lord, my prayer is that you will preserve and keep my brothers and sisters. My prayer is, Father, their faith will fail not, that all fear will be cast out, and all they will know is the love of God that passes all knowledge and understanding. Father, my prayer is that you will use each one of them for your glory. You will empower them, Father. Cause them to stand in these last days, to be pillars that you are raising up. Give them a love for the body of Christ. Help them, Father, to be examples of the faith. Keep them from deception, from the evil one, from the trickery of the enemy. I pray you will grant that consecration, that separation in their lives. Father, give them the desires of their heart. Bless them, Lord, abundantly. Keep them whole in mind, body, and spirit. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory.
The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness has he openly shown. In the sight of the heathen, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. He has remembered his mercy and his truth to all the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Victory.
Amen.
I know that he has remembered his mercy and his truth to all the house of Israel. Salvation of our God.
Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song,
for he has done marvelous.